Hi, this is Alexander Rossi, 2008 Formula BMW America's and World Final Champion, and you're listening to F1Weekly.com. Hi, this is Alexander Rossi, 2008 Formula BMW America's and World Final Champion, and you're listening to F1Weekly.com.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser Hamid is on special assignment. This is podcast number 342. April 26th, 2009. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly Podcast brought to you by Jim Russell, Rotax Challenge, and Marin Karting. Check them out. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. And, of course, we love the Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Challenge. And, of course, Marin Karting. Without them, they have nothing. But if you're ever on vacation in Northern California, I suggest going to Infineon Raceway, signing up for the course that I took over at the Infineon International Kart Racing
Facility.
Yeah, it's just wonderful, and it's just a great experience. So there you have it. We're off to Bahrain. It's not steaming hot. It's that dry heat.
It's downright hot is what it is.
Exactly. 37 degrees centigrade, and the track is 51 degrees centigrade.
And about 90, 95, 96, and about 120 plus for the track itself.
It's very warm. And, of course, in practice, Nico Rosberg looking pretty good.
Again, he's topped out the timesheets on like 9 of 13 practices or something like that so far this season.
So, he's almost becoming the Kimi Raikkonen of last year with the token fast laps.
Yeah.
Which absolutely mean nothing.
The other one he reminds me of is the test driver for Honda 2 years ago raced for
Anthony Davidson?
Anthony Davidson was consistently that kind of thing where he'd be topping the timesheets in the practices for Honda, and Honda wouldn't perform in the races.
Yeah, well, that's how it is. And apparently, when it comes to qualifying, Nico and Williams as a whole, I mean, you can't blame just the driver, are just not able to put it together.
They're just not getting the mix right or something. They can't consistently get out of the first two sessions, and then can't really, even when they do, they still don't seem to pick the right mix of fuel load versus where the position on the grid to make it work.
Exactly. And, of course, we're all anxious for the April 29th date to arrive, because that's when the World Motorsports Council...
Yeah, and the McLaren liar gate, I guess they're calling it now, is... come on. I personally hope that it just works out to fine. They don't put anything onto the championship in that regard. You know, if McLaren's already hurt bad enough, you really don't need to stick them with, you know, disqualification from the...
Well, the British press are now saying that it's going to be a lenient warning. He might have to just put his hand out and then just go, wow.
Yeah. Get the old ruler on the back of the hand.
Something like that, because I think they realize, don't do anything detrimental to the sport.
Yeah, right now it doesn't serve, you know, this is one of the more exciting seasons we've seen in the last 5 years.
A lot of mess-up.
Things just going crazy, and it would really stink to kind of pull them out. McLaren has been showing a little bit more pace in the last two races. Like, they're maybe starting to turn it around, and I'd hate to see them, you know, kind of get yanked back because of, you know, the faux pas in Australia.
And of course, we expect McLaren to take big steps forward because they're a good team. They've got great engineering, and there's no way they're going to languish and fall behind.
No, I mean, they had a pretty solid car to start with. It's just a matter of just finding the tweaks to get them to catch up with the Brawns and the Toyotas and... all those other people at the front.
Exactly. So let's go right to qualifying. Q1, Giancarlo Fisichella goes out first on the softs. I thought that was a little surprising, but that seems to be the tire of choice, especially for qualifying.
Yeah, and for the weekend, it turns out that the softs seem to be a lot more, what are they saying? During the race, they were talking 1 second difference in lap times between the prime and the option tires, which is pretty dramatic, which, you know, is kind of cool. If you're going to split them up like that, it's good to get a really wide differentiation between the tires.
Yeah, and I thought the Ferraris looked pretty good right from the get-go.
Q1 and 2, they look really strong, and then they do finally... Well, we'll get to that in a minute.
Exactly. 9 minutes to go, Lewis Hamilton on the top. Felipe Massa, Kimi Raikkonen, as we said, Kaz Nakajima, and Adrian Sutil finding some pace with the Mercedes-powered Force India.
At the start of the session.
I'm trying to get these guys some slack. Get them into the program, Steve.
Yeah, they do perform a little bit better than they typically have in the first session. A couple of things going on that kind of end up hurting their qualifying. Sutil ends up being the last out, so to speak. He qualifies 15th in this session. And Giancarlo finishes in 18th. So, that's better than they typically are because they're usually 19 and 20. But as we'll say towards the end of the session, we'll find out that Adrian is not actually going to start in the 15th position.
Exactly. And not only that, but obviously it's towards the end of Q1 we realize that the Toyotas are a serious threat.
Yeah, they've got some solid pace. And we've been waiting for this. The last three races, they've been top of the timesheets. They've been they've been in the top four typically in the practice sessions. We've just been kind of waiting for them to put it together to get them up in the grid a little bit better than they have. But by the end of this session, I believe they ended up finishing 2-3 at the end of the session.
Steven, but with 2 minutes to go, it was Jarno Trulli, Timo Glock, Lewis Hamilton, Heikki Kovalainen, and Felipe Massa. So we had the McLarens looking pretty good. Felipe Massa looking fairly strong.
Well, the Ferraris this weekend have definitely put a little more pace on than they showed in Malaysia.
Exactly.
Or in China.
And obviously Toyota showing great pace. And in the end, on the top, he's the new Mr. Machismo. And I'll figure out how to say that in German in the next few days. It was Sebastian Vettel, Jarno Trulli, Lewis Hamilton, Jenson Button, and Rubens Barrichello. And of course, the big story of that moment was Mark Webber being blocked by Jarno Trulli. He was confused.
No, actually, he was blocked by Adrian Sutil.
Jarno, I owe you an apology. Lewis Hamilton a couple of months ago, now it's me. Adrian Sutil wandering aimlessly, but the problem is he didn't really get the support from his team telling him that Mark Webber was about...
He's on a fast lap, get the heck out of the way.
Exactly, no communications, and I blame the team much more than I do Adrian Sutil himself, and he did feel bad in the interview.
Yes, and the stewards felt bad for Mark Webber too, and slapped him with a three-place penalty to start the race, so Sutil will start in 19th, or in 18th rather than in 15th.
Yeah, but Mark Webber's at the end of the pack.
It doesn't even put him behind Mark Webber.
No.
So puts him right next to him instead. It's like,
In that case, what can you do? I mean, I think really the stewards' hands are tied. They can't reinstate Mark Webber to go into Q2 because you don't know what could have happened.
Yeah, you don't know that his fast lap would have been sufficient enough to get him into the next session, but out in the first session are Sutil, Buemi, out qualifying his teammate again, Giancarlo Fisichella, Mark Webber, and Sebastian Bourdais, who has vehemently in the press for the last 2 weeks going, I don't like this car.
Yeah, but he's going to, at least I think this weekend he didn't talk.
No, he's stated that when he was in China. He hasn't really said much this weekend as compared to then. And as we'll see in the race, he fares a little bit better this weekend than he did in China.
Exactly. And there was mention of Robert Kubica blocking Fernando Alonso. They went on the radio and they asked Fernando, did you get blocked? And Fernando said, yes, of course, Sir Robert Kubica and Adrian Sutil, that scoundrel. So there you have it. That's Q1. And away
we go.
Exactly, Stephen. Keep up the good work. Q2, Q2 in Bahrain. Heike Kovalainen out first. A little unusual for the McLarens.
But Heike's trying to find some pace. He's having a reasonably crappy weekend, and he's trying to get to grips. I'm not sure if it's what's going on with Heike. He's not getting to grips with the new changes to the car. He's just not getting to grips with the car, period. But he's really, really having a hard time putting down good laps. And then the first two races of the season, he doesn't even get out of the first lap.
Well, the worst hard times are over at BMW.
I'm watching those guys and I'm going,
is that the same team?
Yeah, did you guys bother to read the regs before the season was over? You guys appear to be driving a GP2 car. They got out of the first out of Q1, but man, compared to where they were last season, it's kind of like BMW. What I was going to use for the race was, is it BMW or is it Sauber that's actually running this car now?
Not sure, but BMW definitely struggling. And of course, they still don't have an interim new diffuser. But we'll see what happens when we get to Barcelona.
I'm sure that they'll have upgrades when they get back to Europe. But no interim diffuser, which seems kind of odd to me. This is one of the big dogs that didn't get something out on track for this. You know, they may be a little bit slower than most of the other teams in this regard, but even with their KERS, still, both of them out in this second session, just with really not spectacular times either.
No, I mean, they looked absolutely terrible. 5 minutes to go in Q2, once again, Sebastian Vettel, very consistent, and I think we're going to see this throughout the season.
I think so too, especially the Adrian Newey car. This Red Bull Renault is phenomenally quick, and it doesn't have the super diffuser as they've changed the name to this week.
No KERS.
This is just one slick car. This is classic Adrian Newey without the typical Adrian Newey reliability issues. So far, this car has been very consistent at getting through the race.
Exactly, and this is where Ferrari is looking pretty strong. Like I said, with 5 minutes to go, it's Sebastian Vettel, Kimi Raikkonen, Fernando Alonso, Jarno Trulli, and Timo Glock. With 2 minutes ago, Sebastian Vettel, Kimi Raikkonen, Fernando Alonso, Jarno Trulli, Timo Glock, Jensen Button, Nico Rosberg, and so on and so forth.
And this is a fun session. I'm really beginning to like the second session because, you know, with 5 minutes to go, if you're not in the top four, you better watch out.
Exactly. You can tumble down so quickly.
Exactly. Nelson Piquet is a fine example. With about 3 minutes to go, I guess it was, 3 to 4 minutes to go, he was in like 14th or 15th or 9th or 10th spot. And by the end of the session, he's dead last.
Yes. Nelson Piquet, of course, is out in this session, Stephen.
Yes. And so, very interesting thing to say. They were talking about when they were walking the grid today that Romain Grosjean's walking around the Renault paddock getting in front of Nelson Piquet whenever he can.
Yeah.
Said that at one point he was walking around with his helmet.
Grosjean is in the seat sooner or later.
If Nelson Delcino doesn't pick it up when we get to Europe, I think that he could be in by, who knows?
Not only that,
Monaco even.
But on his last fast lap in Q2, he makes a mistake, goes wide, hits the sand, comes back in, and he gets on the radio. And what does he say? I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. First of all, stop saying that. Become a, was this kid castrated a couple of years ago?
I don't know. It was interesting. I was watching him during the pre-race today. He was walking down the paddock with his assistant, and he was walking down the paddock like he was a king, and his poor servants trying to keep up with him. I'm like going, dude, you should be carrying your own damn helmet.
He should. And this is the problem. This kid is, unfortunately, I don't want to say he's not hungry, but the problem is he just may not have the talent.
I'm after the performance that he's put up in this year in a couple races, I'm not seeing it. He doesn't. The fact that he has yet to really even challenge Fernando in qualifying, he hasn't even been close.
Not yet.
If they come in like 4-5 or something, or if they come out of the second session, you know, one right after the other, you know, I'd be giving him some credit. But the fact that he can't even sniff Fernando's exhaust, he's so far back.
Okay, let's go right to who's out in Q2. Heikki Kovalainen, Kaz Nakajima, Robert Kubica, Nick Heidfeld, both BMWs, and of course, Nelson Piquet, call me Junior when I'm in a good mood. Yeah. So let's go right to Q3. Timo Glock out first, and he's feeling pretty good. I know Toyota, Yano Trulli and Timo Glock, when they drive the car, they feel that they've got a win coming this year.
Yeah, and they, you know, when this session ends, you think that they've got a chance. This car is quick this weekend. A very interesting session, you know, as typically is in the final session. You know, a lot of people up at the top of the timesheet and everybody kind of jostling around. You can kind of tell who might be heavy and who might not be. But when it all ends up, you're like going, what do you mean Sebastian Vettel or Jenson Button isn't on pole? What's wrong with this?
Yeah, well, apparently also when they publish the car weights, that sort of sheds a little bit of light on what's going on. But still, the Toyotas are very quick. 7 minutes to go. It's Lewis Hamilton on top, looking very strong. Kimi Raikkonen finally waking up. Yarno Trulli, Timo Glock, and Nico Rosberg for the top five. 5 minutes ago, Yarno Trulli goes right to the top. Timo Glock, Jenson Button, Sebastian Vettel, and Lewis Hamilton. And that stayed fairly consistent, and still, with only 3 minutes to go, it was still Trulli, Glock, Button, and Rubens Barrichello in fifth place. Fernando Alonso sixth, Lewis Hamilton, Felipe Massa, Kimi Raikkonen, and Nico Rosberg not being able to show that practice pace in qualifying. Even though he made it to Q3, Kaz did not, and I think Kaz will be replaced soon as well.
I think we've had this discussion before that that one's going to be a bit more of a challenge for Williams to cut him loose.
Name is Hulkenberg.
And the motor supplier is Toyota. And
yeah, who wants to win?
Yeah, that will be interesting to see, is whether or not Williams can basically pull Kaz out of that seat to place a faster driver in there.
Exactly, but there you have it. Yarno Trulli was able to keep the spot, takes pole position, Timo Glock second, Sebastian
Vettel
gets third, who's heavier on fuel than the two Toyotas. And for me, at this stage of the weekend, I'm picking Vettel to win because he's so consistent. We've seen the Trulli train in the past.
Yeah, and we'll see it again today.
And I know Timo Glock has proved himself a number of times, but I still think that Vettel is a little quicker. Jenson Button, the bronze, he's admitted that they don't have the pace this weekend. He's in fourth. Lewis Hamilton, fifth. Good job there. Rubinho in sixth. Fernando Alonso, Felipe Massa, Nico Rosberg, and Kimi Raikkonen round off the top.
Yes, and when we see the fuel loads published, we kind of understand why the two are the top. They are the two lightest cars in the field. Sebastian Vettel, significantly heavier.
Mm-hmm.
Jenson Button, somewhere in between the two of them. And then the rest of the field kind of on the heavy side, but not significantly so. The other thing that we're seeing, too, I think this weekend, is that both the RBR and the Braun really can use the tires, seem to use the tires better than anybody. They're not burning them up like a lot of the other teams are, especially on the softer compounds. And I think that's turning to really help them quite a bit.
And to be honest with you, Jenson Button is also known as a very smooth driver.
Yeah.
Attacking into the apex, powering out, setting up for the next apex. He does a better job than a lot of the drivers on the track.
Right.
And that means saving tires and contributing to a smoother race. Jenson Button, I hate to say this, but he may have been underrated for many years and really...
Well, I think
deserves some of the accolades that he's getting.
Well, you saw that he was a talent when he came into Formula One, and really what he did was make some poor decisions on where to drive. You know, he thought he saw you know, BA or Honda was ascending, so he went over there, and then he's pretty much languished ever since he landed there because that team has never really reached its potential. you get Ross Brawn in there, and now this team is practically unbeatable the way it is. But the fact that, you know, I think that worked out really well for Brawn GP for one Honda to pull out, because I don't think this car is nearly as fast if it's running a Honda power plant. And two, give Brawn a year to develop a car for a new rule set, and he's gonna come pretty close to nailing it.
Well, I'm waiting for the movie to come out, The Brawn Supremacy. So that should be pretty good stuff. But anyway, let's go right to the GP. Once again, very warm. There was a prediction of a sandstorm.
Well, they were expecting the winds to pick up a little bit more. Winds at the start of the race were pretty much what they were in qualifying, which wasn't significant, about 5 to 10 miles an hour. Enough to, you know, if you got a gust, to maybe give you a little bit of trouble. But as a general rule, wasn't really affecting the drive for the cars.
Exactly. And I have to admit, they did announce that we had a 1% chance of rain. You got to throw it in there, Stephen.
Yeah, what, convection, heating?
You never know.
Yeah.
Nature.
The one thing that they were talking about a lot is the fact that it was as hot as it was. And that, you know, it presents problems in a car. You know, you're talking about high-performance race car racing in an ambient temperature.
No cooling fans.
Yeah, ambient temperature pretty close to 100 degrees. And so there were a lot of concerns about overheating. You know, a number of the teams made some modifications to the bodywork to allow some additional airflow.
Including Brawn, who cut a lot of the back off within the rules and regulations.
Exactly. I think, was it the Red Bull that they showed, where you could see where they basically kind of cut a slit down behind the shark fin. It was interesting to see the Red Bulls running a full-length shark fin all the way to the rear tail.
Very fashionable.
Yeah, exactly. Though there are a lot of teams that aren't running a shark fin this season either. So, very interesting. And I think as the season goes and people see that the Red Bull is consistently quick, you're going to start seeing people adding a lot of the affectations that are on the newy cars. But again, hot, and a lot of concern, you know, actually a lot of people expecting there to be a lot of fallout in the race reliability wise because of the heat. And as it turns out, it really doesn't affect much on the race.
And real quickly, this is Sebastian Bourdais' worst start this season, 20th, I believe.
Yes, he will start last.
Not sure what's going on there, but
yeah, but it doesn't help him any, but it doesn't really, he ends up having a reasonably good race. He actually ends up finishing reasonably well.
And a quick note, everybody seems to be starting on the green striped soft tire.
Yeah, everybody, that option tire seems to be the tire of choice this weekend. It is quicker, significantly so. As I mentioned earlier, that they were talking that it is equal to almost a second a lap for some of the teams. And then we also have the top five, the big five. Is it big five or is it big four? Big five are all running KERS this weekend. So
correct.
Both Ferraris, both Renaults, both McLarens, both BMWs. I guess it's the big four, are all running their KERS systems this weekend.
Exactly, and throughout the race, it seems like KERS helps to annoy people more than anything else.
Yeah, especially one specific Brawn driver. But you could see at times where there was a distinct advantage.
Oh, absolutely.
Nelson
Piquet found the button
and was using it to his best advantage.
And it was fun to watch.
And, you know, it bugged me a little bit. You know, it's like, Rubens, just pass him. You're racing for position. He's not going to give it up to you just because, you know, you're driving a
Brawn
this year.
Exactly. And I think Rubinho was thinking that, hey, I am the machismo Brazilian. You are the pequeño Brazilian. But that doesn't work like that.
I think maybe also you may have been flashing back that he was in a red car or something. Back in those days when he was like, everybody got out of his way.
Exactly. But anyway, let's go right to the lights go out. And it's a really, really good start for Lewis Hamilton and Mark Webber, who's way in the back.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
Does a good job in
great
staying
job
clear.
Great job getting couple of wings get busted up going into the second.
Inevitable.
Yeah. And it was interesting that it was front wings and
front
not much
wings,
else. And it was very interesting that I was looking at, and it was the BMWs, and both of the BMWs looked like they just sheared off half of it on one side. That was all they lost on, like, both cars.
Robert Kubica had to come in for a nose, And, of course, your favorite, Kaz Nakajima. Lap 2. Fast lap of the race. Timo Glock with a 1.34.922, who does an outstanding job in getting in front of Jarno Trulli. Jarno Trulli had a good start, but he just couldn't stick it.
No, and he was also getting heavily challenged.
Yes, by, he had Lewis Hamilton on one side, and it just got worse and worse for him. But he kept his cool, and I thought he did a great job in holding everybody off.
Phenomenal job, because at one point on that first lap, Hamilton gets past him.
Yes.
But Trulli is able to turn around and get him back like two corners later and get back ahead of him.
And Jensen Button's in there.
Is in that mix, too. Good start for the Toyotas. They both basically maintain their positions at the end of the first lap, basically flip-flopping. And it's important for them. They need to get out and get away because they are running the lightest of anybody on the grid or anybody of the top 10.
Exactly. And Jensen Button is getting challenged by Lewis Hamilton. Sebastian Vettel is trying to just not lose any more positions because by the end of lap 1, he's in 5th. Place. Then you have Rubens Barrichello, Kimi Raikkonen, Fernando Alonso, Nico Rosberg, and Felipe Massa. And by lap 2, fast lap of the race, like I said, Timo Glock with a 1.34.922. Heikki Kovalainen passes Nick Heidfeld for P14. And then we see Kaz pit for a nose, Robert Kubica pit for a nose. Then on the lap 3, Felipe Massa pits and Nick Heidfeld pits. And I'm not sure what happened to Felipe Massa, but he got a new nose and tires as well.
Yeah, he must have gotten into somebody. The one thing I've kind of liked so far about this season is that in the opening laps of the race, there's a lot of dicing and slicing for position. You know, it's not like we were seeing last season so much as where, you know, the top four cars go and they just run away, and then the whole field just kind of strings out behind them. There's a lot more interaction within the field throughout the race rather than just, you know, like we were seeing last season where you kind of... Once the field got set, there wasn't really much going on after that.
Lap 4, fast lap of the race. Timo Glock once again with a 1.34.761. And I have to admit right now, Nelson Piquet is in P10. Jensen Button, fastest in Sector 1 with a 3.0.2. And Mark Webber is already all over the back of Nelson Piquet. Lap 5, fast lap of the race. Jarno Trulli answers Timo Glock's fast lap with a 1.34.710. And on the following lap, he goes with a 1.34.572. Jarno Trulli is pushing, and the Trulli train has not appeared.
Once Trulli ended up on pole, I'm like, good, this should be an interesting early race. The Trulli train will be well in effect.
Exactly, and Sebastian Vettel is stuck behind Lewis Hamilton, and it's costing him time.
Yeah, and I think this is where you're kind of seeing this curse kick in, because Lewis, being the quality driver he is able to pick his spots and use that extra boost to keep Sebastian from getting a good enough position to make the pass.
Exactly. But Jensen Button is beginning to catch the Toyotas. Timo Glock on lap 9 versus Jarno Trulli is a 2-second gap, and Jarno Trulli is fastest in Sector 1 with a 30.1. Kimi Raikkonen is in P7, and Felipe Massa, P17.
Yeah, never really found out what happened to Felipe, where he diced it up with somebody. We just know he went into the pits for a new nose, and that was about it.
Exactly. The replays didn't show what was going on, so there you have it. And there you go. Lap 10, fast lap of the race. Jarno Trulli with 1.34.556. And Rubens Barrichello is pushing Sebastian Vettel. On lap 10, Sebastian Vettel had a couple of bad laps. I don't know, he just lost focus, and he let Rubinho get a bit close.
Yeah, and I think maybe it might have been that window where the tires start to begin to get a little dicey, and he may have been having tire issues because he was running quite heavy on the soft tires.
Exactly. Timo Glock, as we suspected, was running quite light. Pits on lap 11, 9.8-second stop, goes with the hard tires, and he comes out in P9. And right when he was coming out, Nico Rosberg gets right by him.
Sneaks right past him, and that was probably not a good thing for Timo because he has a little bit of trouble getting by him.
Jarno Trulli pits on the following lap, lap 12, with an 8.9 stop, and he goes on the hard compound. And I should correct myself, because really, That was called the medium compound. There was no hard.
Well, they were basically, yeah, that's the prime tire, which was the harder of the two compounds, but it was really a medium. And really, this pit stop and these tires are what destroy Glock's race, because he cannot get anything out of this car on these tires. He basically starts to lose time every lap to the leaders at this point, and it just is, it's actually kind of sad to see.
On lap 12, when the owner truly pits and comes out in P6, he has Fernando Alonso behind him. Heikki Kovalainen pits as well, and now Jenson Button is leading the race. On lap 13, Fernando Alonso is pressing Yarno Trulli because he's got the button.
Yeah, and I'm reading the thing on the live timing, and it says, it's hotter out there than expected. It seems the medium tire is becoming the featured tire of choice. What race was he watching? Everybody I saw coming, second stops, I'm like, okay, they're going to go to mediums. Everybody was going back to the softs.
Yeah, they had to use the medium. But they eventually went back to softs.
Yeah, it was I was amazed because Rubens comes in twice for softs before he goes to the hard tire.
Keep up the good work, Steven. Lap 14, Mark Webber pits. Rubens Barrichello pits, 7.1 second stop. And as you said, he goes back to the softs and comes out in P10. Jenson Button finally pits from the lead, and he goes with the soft tires. Lewis Hamilton pits, 7.6 seconds. He sticks with the tires, the soft tires, and he comes back out in P7. Lap 16, Rubens Barrichello is dicing it with Nelson Piquet Jr.
Yeah, and it was fun to watch because this went on for 2, 3, 4 laps.
Oh, yeah. And Nelson, hey, when it's done right, Nelson did a good job in holding him off.
Right.
Whether he had curves or not.
But he was doing it the right way. He wasn't basically slamming the door on him. And it really took, it was actually a pretty good pass when Rubinho finally gets by him, but it takes him a while, and Piquet was frustrating the crap out of Rubens because every 3 or 4 times we see Rubens with his hand up out of the cockpit going, get out of my way!
It was exciting. I liked it. Keep up the good work, Nelsino. Let's hope he gets another race.
Yeah, let's get him one more race anyway.
Exactly. So that was pretty exciting. Lap 16, Fernando Alonso pits. He sticks with the soft. And Jenson Button has passed the Toyota. Felipe Massa, in the meantime, is trying to pass Mark Webber,
who we know is one of the toughest guys on the track to get by if he's got a halfway decent, well, even if he's just got a half decent car. But yeah, it takes he's Ferrari's. We're looking good
for a while.
That knows the loss of the wing change is just really taking Massa out of the picture.
Exactly. Sebastian Bourdais pits on lap 18. He goes with the soft. Sebastian Vettel pits. And Sebastian Vettel, great pit stop. He comes back out in P4 and leapfrogs Lewis Hamilton. This is significant.
Yeah, makes a big difference for him later in the race to be ahead of the Kurz-equipped McLaren.
And Rubens Barrichello on this lap passes Timo Glock easily, and it's almost like Timo has got some kind of a problem. I'm not sure what's going on.
He's on the prime. He's on the harder tire, and he just really can't defend. For some reason, the Toyota is just not sticking to the track using this tire. He can't get the same kind of performance that he can out of the softs.
Lap 21, Kimi Raikkonen pits, 10.2 second stop, comes out in P8, and I'm going to give credit to Kimi Raikkonen. He's having a decent race. He's pushing hard and making headway.
He's getting something out of the car that has really not given them much of anything all season.
Lap 21, Sebastian Buemi pits. Jenson Button now leads. And their team is telling him, push, push, push. Because now he's got to make those Schumacher laps, as we call them now today.
Yeah, he needs to get some time under his belt so that when he goes back in for his next round of stops, that he's going to have enough of a cushion to get in and out without giving up his place.
Exactly. So on lap 22, the top five are Jenson Button, Yarno Trulli, Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton, and Rubens Barrichello. And this seems to last for quite a while. Lap 23, Jenson Button faster than Yarno Trulli by a second a lap. Very impressive. The Braun, they were whining about pace. but they seem to have lost it against their competitors. But in reality, it's still
sandbagging.
Very quick.
Yeah, once they got on the track in race conditions, this car is just as quick as it's been all season.
Lap 23, Nelson Piquet pits, and Adrian Sutil does as well. And on lap 24, you realize that Sebastian Vettel, if he's going to get second spot, he needs to get around Yarno Trulli.
Yeah, he's got to, because the Trulli train is kind of sort of in effect right here, because we've got Trulli, Vettel's right on his tail, and Lewis is not very far behind these two racing around the track. And I think about this time they come on the radio and tell Lewis that you're not racing Vettel, you're racing Trulli for podium.
Exactly. So there you have it. And also the team came on the radio for Rubinho, and I'm talking about the two-legged one. The four-legged one is in Pennsylvania. And the team tells Rubinho, go, 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 you must go. Lap 26, Rubens Barrichello pits, sticks with the softs again, and comes out in eighth position. Lap 27, BMW. You know, and this is a sad state of affairs. These guys were doing so well last year, and BMW on lap 27 is... Kubica is in 18th. Nick Heidfeld is in 20th.
Yeah, I'm watching this going, did they...
Are they running on four cylinders?
Yeah, exactly. They changed motor. What is this, the third race on this motor? So they're really babying it or something? I really don't know, and I don't really understand, because they've been reasonably competitive in the previous races. In this one, they are just, it's like they've, you know, gone out with another extra 100 pounds of mass in the car, just to, you know, a penalty or something.
Yeah, that kind of loss of performance is extremely frustrating to the drivers.
Oh yeah, because one, you've got a car, you know, one race, you know, you're kind of in the mix, and the next one, you're watching your mirrors because you don't know who's going to come and get you again.
Exactly, and I feel terrible for Robert Kubica, who's still at the beginning of his career. Nick Heidfeld, you know, kudos to him. He's had some more P2s on the podium than any other driver, I believe, now, which is a record that's respectable. I don't think he's going to win any races anymore. And I really doubt if he'll be at BMW next year. I mean, these guys have to think forward and think young.
Yeah. I think his chances for being with BMW next year probably less than 50-50. A lot of it depends on how the season works out. And also may have to be dependent on whether or not BMW can re-sign Kubica for next year.
Not only that, but Kubica certainly isn't outpacing Nick Heidfeld like he did last year. And once again, I certainly don't want us to sound like we're down on Nick Heidfeld. I think he's a good driver, but he's, you know, getting up there in years.
And we were hammering him last year when he was actually having a pretty good year.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just he had a couple of races where he seemed like he wasn't performing. So, you know, it's all about performance in this business.
And for a German team that, you know, we know that they go, you know, bit by bit in a very systematic,
methodical methodologies.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's the German way. I'm very surprised that they've dropped off so much.
Yeah, it seems odd. You know, I'm just wondering, you know, maybe they ended up having to put more resources into developing curves than they wanted to, and they, you know, basically lost focus on, you know, making a fast car. I don't know. We'll see how it turns out once they maybe get their aero updates when they get to Europe. Hopefully they'll gain some of that back, because I really don't want to see this team, you know, at the back of the field, because especially a driver like Kubica, who can really mix it up and look good and can actually compete with a lot of these guys. You know, he's probably one of the top five drivers on the grid.
For sure. I'm thinking maybe Mario Tyson should grow his hair, wear purple glasses, and be a little more flamboyant.
There you go.
Yeah. So then we could have Flavio and Mario. Bravo, bravo, bravo. Lap 28, it's Jenson Button, Yarno Trulli, Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton, Timo Glock, Kimi Räikkönen, Fernando Alonso, Rubens Barrichello, Nico Rosberg, and in the top 10, Giancarlo Fisichella. What's up with that? Yeah,
good weekend for...
So far, good
so
for...
So far, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, because later on, he does some funky stuff.
Right, and no, that, but, you know, this is kind of... He's running heavy, so this first run of stops, so he's picked up some places on people making pit stops.
So... Here it is. Shabash, shabash, shabash to Giancarlo. Keep up the good work. And on lap 29, I'm thinking to myself, no yellow flags, no safety car, no kablamos.
No retirements.
Nothing.
Yeah, we're basically halfway through the race. And
it's been an exciting race, but come on.
Yeah, and the worst that we've had so far are a couple of destroyed front wings. Nothing. Amazingly clean race. Yeah, I really expected to be a lot of kablamos.
At least one or two with this kind of heat, but
the fallout that way, brake failure from overheat or something. You know,
these engines. It's taking a little bit out of the fun, but I mean, these things are so dependable. It's like a Toyota.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know, but I just took a mental note, going, "Wow, this is a pretty smooth race so far." Okay, on lap 29, Jenson Button to Yarno Trulli in second spot is a 13-second lead. Jenson Button is doing a damn good job. Braun is doing a great job strategically. The Braun intellectual, cerebral racing is there.
Braun, as a team leader, is a phenomenal individual. The way he can he seems to nail the strategy almost every time, and even if he doesn't, he's not so far away that it really affects the performance of the team.
Exactly. Felipe Massa pits on lap 29, and McLaren tell Lewis Hamilton that, take it easy, you've got two laps further than Yarno Trulli. So keep up the good work, Mr. Hamilton. Lap 30, Jenson Button laps Nick Heidfeld. That's sad, dude.
Yeah.
It's not even half... Well, we're over halfway through the race. But still, I mean, I feel sorry for everybody at BMW who've put a lot of work into this car.
And Kurz is not doing them any favors.
Kurz is junk. It's J-U-N-K.
Yeah, even the other teams, you know, you look at Braun, you go, if you'd spend a little more time, you know, maybe put an engineer pondering the regulations and finding the loophole that the guys at Braun did, you'd be in a lot better shape than all that time he spent trying to develop an energy recovery system that's, you know, mildly beneficial, and in most cases the weight penalty completely cancels out any benefit that you're gaining.
Lap 32, Yarno Trulli now pulling away a wee bit from Sebastian Vettel. The Toyotas are doing well. He's not holding anybody up, and I'm looking, you know, Yarno Trulli is looking at that podium. He's telling himself, I'm going to be on that stinking podium.
Yeah.
Lap 33, Kimi Raikkonen trying to get by Timo Glock. And in the meantime, Nelson Piquet passes Mr. Shabash himself, Giancarlo Fisichella. Timo Glock pits, 6.9 second stop, goes with the softs, comes out in P10 right behind
Nelsinho.
Exactly. Lap 34, Felipe Massa is now beginning to catch Robert Kubica for P17. And then Robert says, I'm going to go pit.
Yeah, I'm just going to get out of it. Exactly. Because I'm so underweight. I'm starving.
Yeah, I feel sorry for Felipe because, you know, he's trying so hard. And not only that, Robert Plant and Eric Clapton are watching the race.
Yeah.
They're there.
And they're, you know, big Ferrari fans. And, you know, and to be literally, to be the world champion for, you know, 30 seconds last year.
And, this counts for something.
And now to be where he's at with Ferrari, it's just, ouch.
And not only that, but Dimontezemolo is in the paddock this week to build, you know, give that pressure.
Well, there, and also, the way he mentioned it on the grid to Peter Windsor, he's more there as a cheerleader. He's not there to, you know, hammer anybody or hack anybody loose. He's just there to, you know, show his support when the team's having their hard times. It's like, I don't usually go to the races when we're doing well, but when we're doing bad, I get out there to show my support. It's more like, you know, crack the whip, you mean.
Yeah, whatever you say, Steven. Lap 36, Sebastian Bourdais pits. Lap 37, Jenson Button pits, goes with the mediums, also known as the hard. Yarno Trulli pits, Lewis Hamilton pits, Fernando Alonso pits, and Rubens Barrichello leapfrogs Lewis Hamilton, Mark Webber, Giancarlo Fisichella, Heikki Kovalainen pit as well, and now Sebastian Vettel is in the lead. I know that sounded a little confusing, but there was a little bit of a shuffle. A lot of pitting.
A lot of action, and basically it was kind of a period of two laps because, you know, you get that many people in.
Right.
The leader keeps dropping back farther, so that lap seems to never end. But yeah, now Vettel's ahead of Button, but only ahead of Button and Raikkonen and Trulli. Both Raikkonen and Trulli, I believe, have... No, Trulli's already stopped. Raikkonen still has to stop yet, and Vettel also has yet to stop for his second pass.
Exactly, on lap 38, Rubens Barrichello is trying to get by Yarno Trulli, but just can't make it stick. And I like these kinds of fights because there's no Button to pass.
Yeah, no push to pass. And these guys are, you know, fighting in equal cars, so to speak.
Lap 39, the top five is Sebastian Vettel, Jenson Button, Kimi Raikkonen, Yarno Trulli, and Rubinho. Lap 40, Sebastian Vettel pits, 7.3 second stop, goes with the mediums, comes out ahead of Yarno Trulli. Killer stop, very short stop.
Perfectly timed.
These guys, it's Braun-esque.
Yeah.
I have no other word for it.
Red Bull, has been solid. Just straight up solid. They haven't made any dumb mistakes. The reliability of the car this season as compared to last has been great. And then also the fact that one of their drivers has moved on, I think, has helped them a great deal because for some reason that other driver who will not be named always seemed to run into somebody during the race.
That would be David Coulthard, now a BBC pundit. Lap 41, Jenson Button to Yarno Trulli is 14.750 seconds. Adrian Sutil pits. And on lap 42, Nelson Piquet is in front of Fernando Alonso. I take a note of that, and then, boom, Nelson Piquet pits. Good for him.
Flavio, get out of his way.
Yeah, Flavio, bravo, bravo, bravo. Yarno Trulli on lap 43 is beginning to catch Sebastian Vettel. And Vettel's built up some confidence now.
Oh, well, how couldn't he?
Two race wins.
And basically what amounts to just, I actually think, wasn't so much a mistake as just his tires let him down in Australia, where he would have been on a podium there, too.
Exactly. And really, the race at this stage between Sebastian Vettel, Yarno Trulli, and Rubens Barrichello is very tight.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. This has been a very exciting race. There's been some good dicing. And I mean, if you have a race where Nelson Piquet does a pretty good job, you know it's going to be a pretty good race.
Yeah, exactly. Well, for you.
What can I do? Lap 44, Kimi Raikkonen pits. Goes with the mediums. 9.1 second stop. And Timo Glock, as Kimi Raikkonen is coming out, is in the way.
And manages to stay in the way and get in front of
Kimi Raikkonen. Does finally get by. Thank goodness for that. And Timo Glock seemed to be struggling with the tires.
It was funny because he looked really good on the first stint. Mm-hmm. And just really, I don't know what it was, but he never really got that rhythm back. You know, the hard tires really took it out of him. And then even when he got back onto the softs, he couldn't find that line again.
Lap 45, it's Jenson Button, Sebastian Vettel, Yarno Trulli, Rubens Barrichello, and Lewis Hamilton. Nico Rosberg pits on that lap. And the big question right now is, can Yarno Trulli get past Sebastian Vettel? Because really, we're getting close to the end of the race. And to me, I thought Yarno Trulli might have the pace and the TFs to make the pass.
Or to catch him. And these cars are pretty evenly matched. But Sebastian Vettel, just as what he's shown us this season, you know, he's probably one of the top five drivers on the grid, and he wants to go out and prove it every time he's out there, and he does a heck of a job
doing it. He's not making the mistakes when he's under pressure.
No, and this kid is really
mature.
Yeah, mature for a kid who's only in his sophomore year, and he's not suffering any kind of sophomore jinx, though he's not in the same car he was last year, so maybe he's just a freshman again?
It's funny because this year we actually see whiskers on his face. So obviously, puberty must have stepped in since last year. I don't know, because I remember interviewing him briefly at Indianapolis, and you know, he looked like a juvenile delinquent.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Maybe it's just some hormone treatment or something.
There you go. Keep up the good work, Steven, for holding an open mind. Lap 46, Robert Kubica spins, loses it, and that was really strange. But he might have hit a little, you know, pocket of sand.
Yeah, he may have gotten a little dust. He was off the racing line trying to get past Nakajima at that point. And if I recall correctly, he was kind of trying to get the inside of the corner. And I think he caught a little bit of berm that kicked his back end out on him. And just that was it.
Now, he gets back on track. But the problem is he sort of gets in the way of Yonar Trulli, who's trying to catch Sebastian Vettel. Don't know what's going on there. Sebastian Vettel, really, there's no big issue there. He is machismo, and he is determined to get on this podium.
Yeah, and he's running a sideline. If not, win the race. He's not making any silly mistakes. He's not trying to duck on the inside of somebody to get past him. He's racing a smart race.
Exactly. Felipe Massa pits, 7.3 second stop. Keep up the good work, Ferrari. On lap 47, Rubens Barrichello pits, 6.2 second stop, goes with the mediums and comes out in P5. Really, really a good job from Braun. On lap 48, it's like this. Jenson Button, Sebastian Vettel, Yonar Trulli, Lewis Hamilton, Robert... No, excuse me, I keep... You know,
got to work on your handwriting.
Yeah, that's because I just, you know...
You're so used to him being up...
I know, but it's Rubens Barrichello, Kimi Raikkonen, Timo Glock, Fernando Alonso, Nico Rosberg, and Nelson Piquet in the top 10. Keep up the good work, Nelsino. Lap 49. I'm blown away. No yellow flags. Not one yellow flag.
Yeah, rather amazing considering, you know, we finished the first two races behind a safety car.
Yeah, we go from one extreme to the other.
Yeah, and actually I think this may be more of the norm, but again, this track lends itself to clean races because it's...
That's true.
This is a modern circuit. There isn't anything that's really close to the racing.
You can make mistakes.
And not end up in a tire barrier. And it's one of the wider tracks on the season, too. So even when you're trying to make moves, you're not so close to your competitor that you're likely to slam a door on him. But there was one of the few races I can remember in recent memory where there was a lot of bumping between cars with no catastrophic consequences. There are at least three or four instances where people are trying to get past each other and they're either bumping tires. I think Massa actually got a side pod with a tire. But, you know, I think part of what helps that, too, is you've got those wheel covers on the front. And so if you do catch somebody on a side pod, you kind of bounce off now because the tire isn't catching like it would have, you know, two, three years ago.
Interesting, and we have a bounce coming up shortly. Lap 50, Kaz Nakajima pits from P18 and goes right into the garagey. Garage. And apparently...
Something went wrong.
Hydraulics, I assume.
Yeah, more than likely hydraulics, or maybe the brakes were starting to get off on him. They were saying that was one of the risks with the heat, because the brakes can never really cool down. You can basically burn up your brakes, and kind of a double-edged sword, because you take off the material, so you have less material to take away the heat, blah, blah, blah. Never told us what happened, but you're probably right. Probably hydraulics or something of that nature. That he couldn't continue.
In the meantime, Kimi Raikkonen is pushing Timo Glock, and Felipe Massa passes Giancarlo Fisichella, but there's a little bump and grind. Giancarlo Fisichella doesn't give way. Felipe Massa's wheel, you could see it hit the Force India, and I'm not sure if a Shabash is involved there or not, but it was... Especially for, you know, that far back in the field. Come on, guys.
Yeah, well, I think Felipe's, you know, racing for pride at this point. He doesn't want to finish behind either of the two Force India cars.
Well, not only that, but Giancarlo Fisichella seemed to have not seen the blue flag.
Well, they were racing for position, so there shouldn't have been a blue flag.
Well, there was a blue flag. Because and I'm not sure right there. But there was a blue flag. He didn't see the blue flag. Felipe Massa came, and there you have it.
It was fun. It was, again, one of those bumps that we saw during the race, and fun to watch.
And once again, lap 52, we're reaching the end here. Yonar Trulli beginning to realize that there's no chance of catching Sebastian Vettel. On lap 53, Timo Glock is pressuring Kimi Raikkonen for P6, but... That's another one that's just not going to jive.
Yeah. Not enough oomph in the Kurs system left to make that pass.
Which is sad, because you would think that Kimi with the Kurs should easily get by the Toyota.
Yeah, but well, he actually does end the race in front of Timo, so he must get him on the last lap. Last lap.
Let's check the replays. Here we go. Kimi Raikkonen does bring in the first points of the 2009 season for Ferrari. So maybe the appearance of Di Montezemolo assisted in that endeavor.
Has helped him. The Ferraris looked better this weekend, though not top half competitive, but they were much better this weekend as a whole. I think Felipe Massa finishes in the points if he doesn't have the schmozzle at the beginning of the race, because his car was quick enough to be able to stay up in the top eight.
But, and not only that, but Kimi Raikkonen, and maybe I was a little bit confusing when I was saying it, but on lap 53, it was Timo Glock pressuring Kimi Raikkonen.
Right.
And Kimi Raikkonen holds him off fairly easily and brings in those points, which are so, so needed. Oh, I mean, just, even for some kind of emotional boost.
Just more morale, because they've already gone three races without a point. I think that was the first time in Ferrari's history that they'd gone three races without scoring. So a huge race for that, for him to get in there. And
this is a great race for Braun. Jenson Button finishes the race, wins the race. Just a great start for him. Consistent, passes when he needs to pass, and holds that lead. And he's putting in good laps.
Solid,
he's
clean.
Doing what the bosses want him to do.
Solid, clean pit stops from
great
the Braun team.
Just great teamwork.
Good stuff.
And Sebastian Vettel, we're beginning to believe that we won't be happy if he's not on the podium now. We're going to get accustomed to this. Red Bull is doing a great job. And, of course, Yano Trulli, who was on pole, gets on the podium, but very disappointed that he didn't bring Toyota's first win.
No, and, you know, Toyota gets the front row, locks out the front row, but they really did it on fuel, and they really couldn't leverage that those light cars into victories. Poor Timo, you know, starts the race in second, finishes in seventh, you know, and you know, given another four or five laps, Fernando might have caught him just because of the race he was having. So kind of a disappointing weekend for Toyota. Finally lock out the first row for the first time in team history, and then really unable to capitalize on that. And they've had a quick car all season, again, but they're not, I don't know what it is with Toyota, but you get them into the race, and it's a different team.
Race pace and strategy. It's going to be hard to beat a Braun when you have Ross.
Yeah, truly one of the best, probably one of the best ever at running a team in this series.
Lewis Hamilton comes in fourth, brings in some important points for McLaren. Rubens Barrichello, Kimi Raikkonen, Timo Glock, and Fernando Alonso round off the points-paying positions.
In ninth will be Nico Rosberg. Nelson Piquet finishes 10th. Good race for him, reasonably so. Mark Webber gets himself up to 11th after starting at the back of the field. Heikki Kovalainen in 12th. Sebastian Bourdais outpaces his teammate, finishing in 13th. Felipe Massa in 14th. Giancarlo Fisichella in 15th. Adrian Sutil in 16th. Sebastian Buemi in 17th. And the two BMWs round out the field with Robert Kubica and Nick Heidfeld. And Kaz Nakajima was retired on lap 50.
So there you have it. I mean, it was a great race for entertainment. Not so great for me. My boys didn't do that great. But Nelson Piquet didn't crash and finish the race.
And provided some pretty good mid-race entertainment.
I agree. The way he held off Rubinho, I would pay for.
Yeah, and then Fernando had a good solid race.
Did some good passing. All in all, a good race.
Yeah, overall for everybody, if I like the new cars. We're seeing more of it, but you know they were claiming that at one point in the race that, you know, well, the new double diffuser is eliminating some of those passing opportunities. But you know, I don't really think that was so much true. Is that the pace of the cars was eliminating that, because nobody was that much faster than anybody else to be able to make those passes.
I say I love the diffusers. I'm not that crazy about KERS.
If KERS was actually proving to be an advantage,
not on the podium.
Yeah, and so to me, it's more of dead weight than it is anything else. And I think the teams that are using it are going to look hard and fast to see whether or not, you know, the weight penalty equals. If the FIA really wants KERS to be developed and used, there should be more penalty for the teams not using it.
Correct, and not only that, but I think it's an exaggeration that it gives 80 horsepower. I don't think so. And well, once again, if that was
the 80 horsepower advantage, I think is slightly negated by the fact that you can't use it below 60 miles an hour.
It's just,
if you could pick up that extra 80 horsepower at the bottom of a turn and use it to help accelerate out, it would be a lot more effective than it is once you're already out of the turn.
Right. But once again, I mean, the front row, no curves. The podium, no curves. I'm very disappointed, and I'm with Flavio, who's trying to get curves banned for 2010.
It would make more sense to me. There's not a lot, you know, the technology is already used in road cars, so you're not gaining any true technological advantage there for, you know, hand-me-down. So, and I think that as we've seen so far this season, it's not improving the racing any.
Not at all. The technology, I don't think, is that exciting. I mean, come on, it's a wound-up rubber band.
Basically, yeah.
I mean, come on. That's not that exciting, guys. This is Formula One.
Yeah, if you really want to get green, you know, make them electrics.
Yeah, so, come on, guys. I'm with Flavio this time. Let's get rid of curves. Let's throw curves in the junk pile and move on. Let's come up with something else, but something a little more exciting. Let's go with bigger rear wheels, smaller front tires, and...
Well, they're already talking about the front tires for right. Next year's spec will be narrower because of some of the issues that have come up.
Well, there's too much grip on the front tires right now.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of issues, but I'm not a fan of curves. And if you think it's so great, email me, Clark@F1Weekly.com. So anyway, let's move on because now I've got my forum comments on the race. Just a quick few. I'm not going to get out of control. This is from Autoracer 5. Toyota made the wrong call with the hard tires. Rubens should have gone onto hards on stop 2. STR were nowhere, as was Kovalainen. Good points for Kimi. I got in one little fight with my mom, got scared. She says, you're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel Air. Not sure what's going on there, Chris, but you might leave your problems off the forum. Miguel, a good race with an exciting start. Jensen is back in the top step, making us wonder, will Braun be able to keep the momentum till the end of the season? Nelsinho clearly resented being fired off the F1 Weekly hurt and heel thread and handled himself well in the race. Yay! Toyota flattered only to deceive. Brilliant. To see the mixed-up grid, the opening laps were classic. Glad to see Jensen is still driving like a world champion. It would appear that Hamilton can drive a car beyond its ability. Good race. TD.
Tricky Dick writes, fantastic performance by Jensen Button. He is starting to show real championship-winning potential. Solid performances by Red Bull and Toyota, although I was really hoping for a more competitive finish. Barrichello's strategy seemed a bit odd to me. And what happened to Timo? Malta Dawes writes, classic Braun, brain trust, and well executed by Button. This is one they can be proud of since they said they didn't have the pace. Barrichello taking Piquet with some great testicular fortitude along with some other battles on track. Kurz versus non-Kurz is definitely interesting and seriously adds to that TF come the breaking point at the end of the straight. Iceman, no safety car. Vettel race compromised by first corner. Nelsinho starts to perform a little. Toyota remain an enigma. Williams, a.k.a. Rosberg, WTF. No Schumi. Kimi scores for the Scuderia. Braun maximizes early season advantage. Bourdais, you're fired. Kurz finally added something to the race. I can't fire Bourdais. He out-finished, you know, raced his teammate today.
That's true. So we'll give Bourdais a couple more days.
We'll get him a couple races. Maybe get him to France or something.
And I like how Nelsinho, maybe he's just been sandbagging.
Maybe.
You know, just to make himself look good later on in the season. Keep up the good work. Thank you, gentlemen, from the forum. Okay, I've got a few driver quotes. This makes me laugh, you know.
No, it's always fun and kind of, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, here we go. These are post-race quotes from Bahrain. Fernando Alonso. He says, Renault must find improvements for the next race in Spain after scoring just 1 point at the Bahrain Grand Prix. We did our maximum today after finishing in 8th position. The start of the race was not perfect, and we lost a position, which put me down to 8th. After that, nothing unusual happened during the race, and there were no retirements, so we were 8th fastest, and we finished 8th.
Huh. Wow.
Some good math there.
Yeah, exactly.
Kimi Räikkönen. I'm happy to have picked up a few points, but I can't be pleased with our performance level. I've been around long enough not to get very excited about 6th place. We are well aware we have to improve.
Well, that's a guy who's not happy when he's 2nd, so...
Which is right. I mean, he should be unhappy. Sebastian Vettel. I was in the middle, and he was on the outside, and I had to give way. Then, unfortunately, I got stuck behind Lewis. I might have a chance to pass, but after you follow a car, your tires go down. You get degradation, and they never come back. It is difficult to pass here. We had a longer first stint, which put me just behind Yarno Trulli, which was a shame, as I was on soft tires and could have gone quicker. Then, after the 2nd stop, it was the other way around, and I had to defend. And finally, Mark Webber. My start was okay. We had a reasonable first few laps, but then I got stuck behind Nelson Piquet Jr. It's very difficult to overtake a car with curves. It was too quick on the straights, and that really wrecked the first stint for me. We then converted to a two-stop strategy, but the grip was quite low on the prime tires, and although it was the same for everyone, I suffered greatly. Keep up the good work, Mark Webber. We're rooting for you.
Nelsino ruined a couple of people's days, apparently.
I love Nelsino. All of a sudden, Nelsino is the man. Bravo, 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 Nelsino. So there you have it. Great race. I really enjoyed it. And Nasser is on special assignment, so I've put together a quick motorsports...
Mini Mondial.
Mondial Junior.
Oh, Junior.
Yes, of course. You know, in respect to all the juniors out there. So there you have it. Let's just start right away. And, you know, what can I say?
Of course, you picked this one up first.
Well, it's the machismo. WRC Sebastian Loeb has clinched his 5th consecutive Rally Argentina win and his 5th victory in the 5 rounds of the 2009 season.
So does he? If he wins next on the next rally, does he win the season again?
This guy's out of control.
It's insane.
I can't believe it, but hey... When you have a good Citroën and a good driver, that's the way it goes.
They're cheating.
That's it, Stephen. Yeah, they're cheating. NASCAR. NASCAR. I've got... this is pretty exciting. You're going to love this.
Really?
Juan Pablo Montoya claimed his maiden Sprint Cup Series pole in qualifying at Talladega Super Speedway. David Reagan... claimed his first NASCAR Nationwide Series win on the last lap of the Aaron's 312 at Talladega. Let's go right to GP2 Asia. Lots of excitement there. Luis Razia converted his reverse grid pole position into a maiden GP2 victory in the Asia Series finale. Of course, this was in Bahrain Support Series 2, Formula 1. And the newly crowned champion, Kamui Kobayashi, finished 5th. Of course, he's also the test driver, I believe, or reserve driver for Toyota. He was ahead of race winner Diego, race 1 winner, because 2 races, sorry,
right.
Diego Nunes, who recovered to 6th after making a mistake and losing a couple of places at the restart. So keep up the good work for Kamui Kobayashi, and of course, congratulations to Luis Razia.
There's somebody that could replace Kaz at Williams.
I'm not going to go there, Stephen. Speed car. Another sport race. They were in Bahrain. And, of course, you had your token Herbert and the motivation man. What's his name? John Zalesi. Very good stuff. But Vitantonio Liuzzi.
He's been sort of dominating that series this year.
Wins today's final race of the speed car season in Bahrain, while Gianni Morbidelli clinched the title in 5th place. So keep up the good work. Keep up the good work, Giannini. We'll just move on. IRL, Newman Haas Lanigan Racing teammates Graham Rahal and Robert Durbos will share the front row of the grid for the Kansas round of the IndyCar Series after post-qualifying penalties.
Ouch.
Huh, there you have it, dude. That dropped Dario Franchitti and Elio Castroneves from second and third to the back of the field. Ouch. For crossing the white line on their qualifying laps.
Ah, got to stay on the track.
Got to stay on the track. And real quickly, we'll wrap it up with MotoGP. Jorge Lorenzo's victory at Montegi. And of course, I know you know Montegi because that's where Danica Patrick got her only win in the IndyCar Series, with Rossi taking second and Danny Pedrosa shrugging off his injuries to beat Qatar winner Casey Stoner to the final podium step. So keep up the good work over there in MotoGP. Lots of competition. Rossi, of course, will bounce back because the doctor will begin to slice
and dice the
field. Exactly. So keep up the good work out there. Thank you very much, everyone. NAS, of course, will be back on the midweek program with Motorsports Mondial. I want to thank, of course, Jim Russell's Northern California Challenge. There's nothing better than some karting up in Northern California. Come and check it out when you come and visit the F1 Weekly Palatial Headquarters. So there you have it. I want to thank all the listeners that make this possible. I want to thank my executive producer, David Tapia, Toby Dawes, for doing an outstanding job on the new front page. Steven, come on.
Phenomenal.
Bravo, bravo, bravo. And, of course, Steve Hobb, my co-host, Nasser Hamid, who's always working hard. And moi. Good night.
Good night.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. Thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.